B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome into Checkpoint XP Daily for Friday, January 25th, 2019, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on ESPN Radio 1300 AM in New Haven, Connecticut, as well as Fox Sports 910 AM in Richmond, Virginia. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily is the NCAA finally getting involved in esports. Plus, if you had to make someone a fan of video games and only had three games to do it in, which games would you choose? Those discussions are ahead in about 15 minutes here on Checkpoint XP Daily. But first, let's check in with Joe over at the Checkpoint News Desk and get a gaming news update.
Gaming News Update with Joe Sloan.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
CheckpointXP.com.
Well, it looks like development is restarting on Metroid Prime 4. Nintendo admitted the game wasn't up to the standards expected of the franchise, so they rebooted it and brought back Retro Studios to develop the game. Retro Studios created Metroid Prime 1 through 3.
Good. I'm okay with this.
I am so confused about, like, the development history of Metroid. I have no idea if this is a good or a bad thing.
No, I think it's a good thing, right? I think it's a good thing, especially for a company as big as Nintendo, to look at something and say, you know what, we can't bring the spirit of that game back ourselves. Let's make sure that we get the right people in to do it.
What was the game that was just notoriously terrible?
Oh, yeah, because there was that one Metroid that was awful. Was that
the one? No, because those were good. I was thinking the one with Zero Suit Samus.
Is it called the Other M or
Other M? Yeah.
Okay, yeah. That's it. Yeah.
Square Enix has trademarked the term HD 2D, and in the U.S. and Europe. It's a term they've used before to describe Octopath Traveler, which has people believing there's likely an announcement of either Octopath 2 or Bravely Third in the works at SE.
I don't know how to feel about this. First of all, I think that that's a dumb buzzword, HD 2D.
HD 2D. Yeah, I mean, they used it to, that's one of the things that they, like, one of the terms they had for Octopath Traveler.
High definition,
when they were
two-dimensional?
Yes.
That's so dumb.
That's how they term that art style.
It's just new sprites. It's sprites at 30 frames a second.
Yeah. Modern day sprites.
Which is weird. I mean, I don't know.
I like it, but first of all, it's just Octopath is cool, Bravely's cool, whatever.
Like, I sort of feel like Square Enix is trying to turn that into a thing, like, or a genre.
It's the new roguelike.
Please do not. No one bite on this. Please, let's all collectively decide not to bite on this marketing tactic. Because, like, I would like to see those types of games graduate to more AAA style development, yes, as opposed to being relegated to
2D, HD.
HD 2D.
R2D2, whatever it is.
Yeah, whatever it is. So dumb.
Speaking of SE, Nomura is considering a change for future titles that he works on following the early leaks of Kingdom Hearts 3 in the U.S. He's now considering worldwide simultaneous releases on future titles.
I did not see that coming.
I can't believe we don't have that.
Okay, let me explain something. Well, let me not say explain. Nomura has to be one of the developers or art directors or whatever with one of the worst track records in the history of all of gaming putting out games.
Yeah, and everyone ignores.
And in 2019, for a person with this level of power in a AAA studio to say, oh yeah, I think we should put games out on the same day worldwide.
You think?
At that point, if I am the CEO of that company, I look at him and I say, You didn't know that? You think?
Well, but if you're the CEO of the company, why are you not just doing it?
Listen.
Why, like, a simultaneous worldwide release makes sense.
Release your games. First of all, period. Just make sure they come out.
Well, yeah, that should be his highest priority. But, like, the localization is usually built in with the development. Usually the purpose of having a release that was first in Japan and then in America,
localization took time.
That is usually happening in tandem with the development of the product, especially when when we're talking about titles as large as Kingdom Hearts or Final Fantasy.
Or anything Nomura's working
on. Just, exactly. That's exactly my point.
It's just ridiculous.
It's dumb.
Blizzard has permanently cut the cost of both the Standard and Legendary Editions of Overwatch. The Standard Edition is now $20, down from $40, and the Legendary Edition is now $40, down from $60.
Another victory for America.
I actually don't like this.
Like, this is great, and I think that it's necessary, but I think that it actually probably should have been cheaper or free-to-play.
Just go
free.
Well, go hold on, because you realize there are some people who have been holding out, and because of this, will buy it. Do this first, get a little bit of extra bucks, and then eventually go
But what about the bad press of by the end of the year, Overwatch is free to play? That's ridiculous.
Once that happens, anyone who's already bought it, get some new exclusive skins. They're happy.
I just think $10 is a more compelling price point.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Course. Like, you're going to get more people under the 10 at 10 than you will at 20.
You've already given it away for dirt cheap on Steam sales or, you know, around the holidays and stuff
Humble
like that.
Humble bundles.
Humble bundles. Like, you've already given it away for dirt cheap. Anyone who's bought the game at this point has bought the game.
Overwatch isn't on Steam, is it?
No, I just started, you know, sales.
Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
People who are sick of GOATS meta may finally have relief on the horizon. The recent upload to the live server has brought a significant nerf to D.Va and Brigitte while simultaneously buffing Reaper. Additionally, armor in general has been nerfed, which may effectively end that meta.
GOATS still works.
Here's hoping. Well, it's still going to be viable, but it might not be the absolute go-to.
I've been on for the past couple days since the patch went live. It's still viable. It still works. Is it as strong as it was?
Yeah. Are you playing at a tier where you're going to be able to read the tea leaves?
I'm garbage.
Okay. Well, then that's. I guess
we'll actually find out.
We'll find out when the season starts. Yeah, exactly. But this is interesting, and I think might address some of the concerns that people have had with GOATS meta that's been ruling the off season. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to find out.
Just when you thought your wallet was safe from the holidays, Steam has announced the return of the Lunar Sale. Massive discounts will be coming to the platform in the beginning of February. It ran in mid-February of last year, but with Chinese New Year starting on the 5th, it should be running earlier this time around. No announcement yet on specifically what sales, but if it's last year's any model, we're going to be spending money again, guys.
Well, that usually happens around a Steam sale.
I'm tapped out. Last year, you tapped me out.
You think you are, but you'll find more.
I still have the $20 gift card you got.
That's true. Oh, there you go.
I had used mine during the winter sale.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but I had ended up using it to get all of the DLC for Fallout 4 and New Vegas.
Not bad. Have you started New Vegas?
Fallout 3 is going to go New Vegas, and then it's going to go Fallout 4.
PUBG Corp is instituting a profit-sharing model for their digital item sales. The model will see 25% of all national PUBG League and European League item sales go to the teams that compromise those leagues. The results should lower the barrier for entry and operating costs for emerging teams in the league.
This is good, and if you guys are unfamiliar with this type of thing, profit-sharing is something that's done in traditional sports quite a bit. It does help teams remain competitive. It does help when you have teams that probably don't have the same amount of revenue that other ones would get from ticket sales and merchandising. It allows them to still be able to operate well. So this is a good idea for PUBG Corp, and it should keep the buy-in for new teams low as well. It's a positive.
By the way, I think you meant comprise, not compromise.
Comprise the leagues. Video game software revenue reached a new high in 2018, surging 13% from 2017 to reach $43 billion. Mega hits like Red Dead Redemption 2, God of War, Black Ops 4, Spider-Man, and Smash Bros. Ultimate helped fuel the growth. Overall, digital revenue was up to just under $110 billion.
Well, and you got to think, on top of the way that microtransactions have also increased the margins around video games and the development, I don't think that this is a terribly big surprise.
Right.
I do think that with customers and consumers getting more savvy about loot boxes and microtransactions, and the fact that 2019 doesn't have any monster hits that are slated for it
that we know of yet.
That I think, 2019 is probably not going to be as successful as a year, but this is great for those that are inside the industry.
That's all for the Checkpoint XP Gaming News Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Joe, for the update. With the long off season for esports finally over, we're getting back into the swing of things. Over the next couple of days, we'll be seeing the return of the NALCS
yes.
and the OWL.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
All right. So, first of all, tomorrow.
It's happening!
It's happening. We've got a start off. We have Liquid and Cloud9, 5 o'clock tomorrow, Eastern time. I mean, rematch of probably the two best teams from last
teams,
year in NA.
Yeah.
See, what's nice about the NALCS is because of how sort of where they ended last year, you kind of know looking at it what you're getting into. With the OWL, it's a complete mystery because we have no idea how some of these teams are going to stack up
and
to the other
ones.
And we
have so many new teams.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of different variables going into the second season of OWL.
It is really fascinating. You're going to get to see kind of like the two different models like on display. OWL chose to expand and bring more teams
by
in.
Almost double.
Yeah, League of Legends chose, you know what, it's first year's in the books, but we're going to keep it at 10 for now.
Now, do you think if this goes well for Overwatch League that may put Riot in a position where they have to look at expanding at the NALCS?
Here's where I think it's different. I think it's different because the concept of expansion is still very much a geo-located type of thing. It's still very entrenched in
very true.
You go to new places, not necessarily just new organizations. I think it actually would be a lot harder for the NALCS to integrate sort of those new teams because they're not going to be coming in with bespoke fan base.
Well, no, the problem is if NALCS brings in 5 new teams, that spreads North America's talent pool way thinner when it comes time for
World. Well, this is only the second season in a row where NALCS is using a franchise model over relegation. So there is still talent that exists out there. There are still fans and teams and organizations that could come in and expand the league if they wanted to do that. So, you know, I think that this is definitely going to be interesting to watch this next season of NALCS, knowing that this is the same kind of group of competitors that comprised the last mm-hmm. season, and we don't have a factor like relegation playing any factor in this whatsoever.
The other perspective you have to keep in mind, though, is that when we talk about the OWL, it's not just NA teams. They're spread globally. With the NALCS, that's just NA, but we do still have the European, we have the Chinese.
Right, that's what I'm trying
Korean.
To get at. Like, if we bring 5 more teams into North America, the talent pool for North America spreads to 5 more teams.
No, you're
but
right.
But they still have to go compete at the end of the year in Worlds.
No, you're absolutely right. And maybe not 5 teams per region, maybe 1, maybe 2.
2 teams a region? I could see that.
Yeah, exactly. But just something that would freshen up that talent pool and allow for some new fresh faces to come in.
Yeah.
And you know, really allow for people to launch careers in that league. But listen, we want to hear from you. Which are you more excited to see return, OWL or the NALCS? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, if you had to turn someone into a fan of video games, what 3 video games would you do it with? That conversation will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, could the NCAA finally be making the jump into esports? That discussion is ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on CBS Sports Radio 1300 in Baltimore, as well as the Ticket 1230 in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. Checkpoint XP Daily is now a part of the BPod Network at bpodstudios.com. For more great listening options, like if you give a Rick a podcast for kids about the world of children's books, and Nerd Radio for everything from sci-fi to wrestling and all things nerdy in between, go to bpodstudios.com, the place to be for podcast discovery. Last week, the rumor mill started churning that the NCAA president, Mark Emmert, was going to announce the NCAA's path forward for getting into esports. Well, it would seem that those assumptions may have been a little bit premature.
Wow, I did not see that coming.
Yeah, so this really started churning last week, where people were saying, oh my God, at the State of the Union that he does every year in Orlando for the NCAA NCAA, he would be talking about how the NCAA would finally be making the move into esports. And the reactions were largely, oh no, please don't.
Yeah, I mean, immediately I thought that this was like DEFCON 1 for esports. And,
right.
And we sussed it out, you know, before when we were talking with each other, Joe, is that if this was something that could have been true, you would have saw a large part of kids who had the ability to go pro that wouldn't be because their parents would say, I'll meet you halfway and just go to school for it.
Well, and but I think like I it would also change the calculus in terms of like what's more beneficial in terms of the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, am I going to make more money having my school paid for, or am I going to make more money at 18 going straight into the pros? I think it would have ended up making the pros much more
competitive. But at the same time, we have that paradigm sort of like in professional soccer where overseas, there's kids who are in schools and they're being trained up from the time they're 10, and
right,
they're pro by the time they're 16, 17 years old.
Right.
And when you think about how the paradigm is here in the United States, those kids are gearing up to go to college and then play in college, and then maybe hopefully go pro after college. That's 3.5 to 4 years of wear and tear on your body,
right,
that you just gave up. It was just free,
right? Whereas in the esports world, you don't have that kind of wear and tear. Your fine motor skills and you know, hand eye coordination, it doesn't get better as you get older, right?
But again, I'll push back on that concept that esports athletes don't have injuries, because an extra 4 years on developing carpal tunnel as opposed to being able to go in at 18 and play from that moment, yeah, that could be a big difference from some kids.
It's not that there isn't injuries in esports, because I agree with you 100% on there, but in the esports world, you do have a ticking clock that's constantly ticking down.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, especially when it comes to just the perception of age in esports.
Right.
Whether or not you've spent the time from 16 to 21 playing 7 hours of video games a day or not, at 21, 22, 23 years old, scouters are going to look at you, talent recruitment is going to look at you and go, yeah, he's starting to age out, regardless of whenever you started picking up the sticks.
Yeah, and that's part of what I'm saying is that if you would have had a large cohort of kids going into the college system as opposed to going pro instantly, yeah, there's going to be a large chunk of at least the American esports populace that would just be too old.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, right? College esports makes total sense for certain sports, or college sports rather do. For football, almost nobody is ready to enter the NFL coming out of high school. Your body simply hasn't developed to a point where it can survive getting hit in the NFL.
No, you're right. Yeah.
You got to go for a few years in college to keep building up.
But like basketball, it makes no sense.
The one and done rule in the NBA
is dumb.
Makes absolutely no sense. Too many kids are coming out of college or coming out of high school ready to play, ready to start in the NBA. So why do they have to go to college first? It doesn't really make sense. And at the same time, if you're a coach there, why do you want them coming in for 1 year?
Right.
Other than, I guess I'm going to win a title this year.
But I mean, like, none of those factors impact esports whatsoever. There's no one-and-done rule. You can go even, in fact, it really even just depends on the league and the organization's rules. But even in high school, you could be competing and potentially making money competing at esports. And I think of someone like Brendan Alvarez, who we met out at UCI.
That's a good call, yeah.
Who, you know, he said, listen, I knew that the pros weren't for me, but I also knew that I had skill at Overwatch, and there was an opportunity for me to help pay for school. And I feel like if the NCAA coming in and getting involved would take a lot of those kids out and say, well, your options are pros, or, you know, you go to school like everyone else.
Right.
You can't also make money through endorsements. You can't also make money through your stream. It starts restricting your ability to make an income while going to school. And I don't think that can be understated enough.
Before we even get that far, though, it would have been a bad deal, because a kid like Brendan Alvarez probably wouldn't have made the team, because kids who would have been good enough to be pros would have been on that team.
Yeah, that's also a really good point. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. We're currently talking about the NCAA deciding not to get it involved, or really kind of like outlining their concerns right. about getting involved into esports. By the way, I want to thank everyone listening on the Hawk 1310 in Wenatchee, Washington, as well as the Fan 97.1 in Columbus, Ohio.
Yes, I mean, it sounds like you guys shared much the same opinion as many people in the scene did of, yeah, I don't know about that. Well, Mark Emmert came, he gave a speech, and he did not outline a path forward into esports. Instead, he expressed a lot of concerns about esports and how esports would line up with the NCAA. And, I mean, I don't know if this is me just getting a little bit protective over, you know, the thing that I love, but I gotta say, the reasons that he gave are very hypocritical and very asinine. Listen to some of these. One of his major concerns was that a lot of video games do promote violence. And I'm like, you make
football? Okay, they promote completely fantasy
violence.
Right, virtual okay. violence.
Listen, the only thing I will give him is if you have esports like CSGO, certain fighting games and stuff like that. Okay,
make believe.
I get it.
I have openly questioned and been critical of the idea of shooters in high school esports or shooters in any capacity in high schools. College is entirely different.
These are adults.
These are adults. You can't gloss over that, especially with how many concussions is football encouraging? How many closed head injuries? How many kids have to have long lasting effects from playing football before you start going, hey, wait a minute, isn't that kind of a double standard?
I don't know. I'm not saying it is a double standard. I'm just saying I understand that one particular point. That's all.
I don't want to see top 10 lists of the hardest hits in football history. At the same time here, I don't know about video games. They promote violence.
Thank you. Yeah. I agree.
One of his other major concerns was wagering.
Okay.
Oh, come on.
Okay. This is where I got really upset.
Pace yourself, Norris.
Okay. Because every March, all right, Vegas and Atlantic City lick their chops
brackets
at what is about
brackets.
To come out.
Brackets.
All the brackets. Give me the brackets.
All the brackets. Come on, bracket
the
time.
The president did a bracket for 8 years.
Give
okay?
me a break.
Dude, I got Michigan plus 6.5 this weekend. All right.
Dude, not in any other time of the year is casual gambling so widespread.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? So for the NCAA to talk about wagering, which, first of all, it's not even the infrastructure for esports betting and wagering really ain't even up to snuff.
It's not there
right
yet.
Now. It's not even there yet.
It will be. Don't get me wrong. The money's there. Coming. It will be.
Vegas is still figuring it out.
Yeah.
Right.
But to say that made my head explode. I almost cussed.
Yeah.
Was there any other?
There was another one. He also made mention of the statistic that 95% of esports athletes are male and that it's inherently misogynistic.
Okay, can you point to one female football player for me? One.
In college? No.
Yeah, one.
There's the one girl, the kicker. What's her name? Yeah. She made headlines.
Okay, so one.
One.
Instead of saying, since it's misogynistic, we're not going to participate in it, how about promise going forward that if we do get into esports, we're going to help promote equality?
More inclusion. I mean, like...
Listen, that sounds too much like right, though. And that would require something like effort instead of just counting our money.
Now, here's what I am going to say to all that, though. These are all clearly very asinine points. But if I could speak to the NCAA personally, just for a moment. You're right. It's an inherently misogynistic space. The wagering is absolutely going to ruin everything the NCAA stands for. And it is very violent. If you allow esports into the NCAA, people will see you as promoting murder factories. Please don't come anywhere near esports. You're absolutely right to stay away from it. You guys are the smartest people I've ever heard. And you should definitely not come anywhere near esports.
Listen, there are plenty of reasons for the NCAA to stay far, far away from esports. all of the reasons that they outlined are complete absolute joke.
They're clueless.
They are.
I question how much effort they even put into researching what an esports scene
the
looks like.
It's annoying garbage.
Yeah, did you talk to AJ Dimmick over at
Utah?
Yeah, Utah. No.
No.
You did not talk to the people that you need to talk to. I can't believe you did. If this is the conclusion that you reached, you don't see what the issues
are. No. Do you know what this was? This was a bunch of old white dudes in suits who looked down and said, "Do we want to get involved in esports? There's a lot of money." And some guy says, "Well, you know, they be shooting."
Thank you.
That was the end of that meeting.
All right. Well, listen, we're going to leave it right there. We want to hear from you. Are you relieved that the NCAA is staying out of esports, at least for now? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, if you had to make someone into a fan of video gaming and you only had 3 games to expose them to, what would those 3 games be? That discussion is ahead next here on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com. This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. checkpointxp.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on 101 Sports in St. Louis and WOKR 1310 in Rochester, New York. Make sure you're following us on our officially partnered Twitch channel over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. We've got tons of new emotes, including each of our beautiful faces, as well as not one, but 2 cat emotes. Tali and Fritz, our actual cats, are now Twitch emotes. And there's a 3rd cat that Robbie just got that could become a 3rd Twitch emote, but you gotta sub. That's over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. I want to pose a hypothetical question to you. If you had to make somebody a fan of video games, if your life depended on it, gun to your head, and you had only 3 games to do it in, which 3 would they be?
Yeah, so we're going to all give our 3 games here, but we need to kind of be careful because you can't say something that requires a lot of prior knowledge. Like, you know, you couldn't say something like with 3 games, like Mass Effect 3 wouldn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't have the context of 1 and 2. So be careful about those 3 games. And I'm going to start us off, and I'm going to say for my first game, whatever the indie darling platformer of that year is, whether it's Inside or Celeste or Super Braid. Meat Boy, whatever, Braid, whatever it happens to
that's
be that
That's kind
year.
Of a cop-out.
It is a cop-out.
You have to pick
that's
one.
That's a cop-out.
Pick
dude.
Celeste, then. I'll pick the one for last year. Like, it doesn't matter.
Why Celeste?
Have you played it?
I have played Celeste. Okay. The music's beautiful. The art direction's beautiful.
It doesn't go any deeper than that.
Because here's the thing. It's
those are always easy to get into.
It's easy to understand. You immediately understand. Move right. Solve puzzles that happen as a first game. Very simple to get into. It looks and sounds great. And there's one every year if that ends up being what they
every
like.
Year.
So,
every year.
Yeah, I thought Celeste was a pretty good starting point.
I see your logic.
I mean, I get the logic. I maybe I'm just thinking with my gut a little bit too much. Okay, go ahead.
I'm going to let Norris go. You can do one next.
All right. For
doing
me,
a round robin style.
Yeah, absolutely.
I actually thought really hard about this, and one that I actually came up with very quickly was Shadow of the Colossus.
Oh, that's a good one with the HD remake out. You don't
and
have
not
to worry
just
about
that,
the bad
here's
graphics.
The thing. You don't need to know anything because there's nothing to know. You go in and you just know there's these big things and I have to figure out how to kill them.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's a puzzle game.
It
looks and
game.
Sounds beautiful.
It's a platformer. It sounds great. It's pretty, but it also evokes an emotional response. And that's what I think would really, really get somebody okay. into the
all
genre.
Right. All right, I might take a few answers here, but I think one thing that everybody has to sort of get into is just pure, unadulterated fun. Just you pick up the controller, you're immediately into it, and you're constantly having fun the entire time. Super Smash Bros. Ultimate.
That's a good one.
Wow, yeah, okay, again.
Not to mention, even if you're not into games, there's still certain like nostalgia ticks that you're going to get from seeing characters that you know of regardless.
Because everybody knows Mario, everybody knows Sonic,
yep.
Pac-Man.
Yeah, they're kind of cultural
yeah.
icons
yeah, okay.
more than anything.
You have the context. Again, the controls are easy enough to at least pick yep. up and understand.
Yeah.
All right.
I feel like someone could end up walking away frustrated from Super Smash Brothers.
If they played Mikey,
you don't want to put him up against like a Mikey, for example. But yes, there is obviously still that chance, sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
For me, I very much went with my gut. I went with games that meant the most to me and games where I was pulled in immediately to a different world that made me go, I just want to stay here. And
okay.
Norris, you nailed it right off the rip. Metal Gear, specifically Metal Solid. Gear Solid. Yeah. And I would probably say the Twin Snakes version of the game.
That's PlayStation 1?
GameCube. So it's PlayStation 1, but the Twin Snakes version was the PlayStation 1 version of the game remade for GameCube.
Got it.
With the PlayStation 2 engine on it. So it's kind of an upgraded version. It has more modern sensibilities to it. The PlayStation 1 version is a little bit rough.
Yeah.
Like, I even...
It'd be jaggy and...
I even still playing it to this day get very frustrated with it. Mm-hmm. But Twin Snakes version is very good.
I'm actually going to cut in line here real quick because I actually need to add on to yours. I think that idea of having that emotional response, that narrative, that world that pulls you in is a very important part of video games, and I'm going to burn both of mine too. And say Mass Effect 1 and 2, having recently played through them, the beginning of that game, coming back into the world the way that you do, there's nothing like it in any other game.
I feel like that's also a cop-out. You can't
pick two of the same series.
You gave me three games, and I told you three games.
Boo.
Two of them are
No.
with my gun.
No way.
That was pretty dirty, man. Nope. I don't know about
I preface this by saying, gun to your head, you just failed. You just died.
Nope.
Yes, you did. Yes, I'm just
you're dead.
Sticking as, your gun.
Game over, man.
As the arbiter of this segment,
Robbie can't talk no more for this segment.
You are dead. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on Jack Sports Radio 1010 XL in Jacksonville and ESPN Radio 99.3 FM in Fort Myers, Florida. We're currently kind of discussing what three games would you get somebody into if you had to get them into video games. Robbie is officially out because he died.
No, because he's trash at this game because he picked two of the same series.
You can't do that.
It takes up two of my games. There's nothing in the rules says anything against that.
That is a technicality, and there are no rules to this. I'm making up the rules. Which means that I just said gun to your head. Gun went off. You're dead.
Joe
you're
still
done.
Has to go.
Joe.
My turn. Okay, so you would think I would pick something like Undertale, but I think Undertale requires like the knowledge of so many other games.
You're right. I completely agree.
So I do want something that is very narratively heavy. That's where I'm going to take Life is Strange. This is a game after, you know, understanding a very simple game like something like Celeste as a platformer. Mm-hmm. Here's something that's going to show you what narrative can add to a game. Even if the gameplay isn't the most enthralling, it's going to show you what narrative can add in terms of value. I think Life is Strange would be a good one to go to after that.
I like that.
I'm about to go way left field here, and I'm going to say Modern Warfare 2.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because first of all, I think Modern Warfare 2 is the pinnacle of first-person shooters. I think we got to that point, and that was the perfect mixture of arcadey, of skill, of random mess just killing you. But the best part about it is that was fun. And that's what trumps everything. It was still fun, and it got to a point, especially if you play it on a console and you weren't getting hit by hackers and stuff like that, it was super duper fun in those first few years of or first year of it, because it just was a tight fun shooter, and it was really the first of kind of that super game, the ultra game, the game that transcends all of culture, and it just feels like everybody had it. So I'm going to go there.
I like that. I'm going to go with a bit of a swerve. I'm going to say Dark Souls for mine. Now
you are risking your life, sir.
I know I'm risking, but here's the thing, is that you need a game that has some kind of long-term appeal that isn't some kind of ongoing, like, games as an experience sort of thing. That's why I think you can get a lot of out of Dark Souls, because it takes a lot of repetition and practice, and it really changed the way that I saw narrative in games. games. Joe, back to you.
Doesn't work.
No, it does.
For my last one, I'm going to say Minecraft because just I do think you need something that is longer form, but also after understanding narrative and gameplay, I want to give the person a game that they can kind of make their own adventure in, and I think Minecraft does that.
Fair enough. Norris.
Streets of Rage 2.
Why?
Ooh. It's the best beat 'em up ever made.
Fair. I mean, it is, but it's. I mean, its graphics are gonna look like junk today.
No, it doesn't.
I don't know about that.
It doesn't.
My last one, I am gonna say Pokemon, and I'm gonna say.
Let's go Pikachu.
I was gonna say Let's Go Pikachu, specifically because the first generation of Pokemon, everyone really has a context for it. Whether you're young, it has appeal for young people. It has nostalgic appeal, and I just think that Pokemon is one of those series that is timeless, and it is always, always good. But listen, we want to hear from you. What would your three games be? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint _XP on Instagram. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website at Checkpoint XP for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a full archive of podcasts and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Thanks to our executive producing team of Buzz Knight, Mike Thomas, and Rick Scott. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Solis, and of course my co-hosts who pulled double duties as producers for Checkpoint, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's A. Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.